So that is the fifth vision, the two olive branches. You can see how systematic it flows, the eight visions. Now in chapter 5 of Zechariah, that is, because we have both Revelation and Zechariah, some of you are turning all over the place now. Zechariah is on page 991 if you are using the same Bible as me. Now, your Bible may be different. Now, turn to Zechariah chapter 5 verse 1 again. Put your hand on Revelation so you can get it easily. Zechariah chapter 5 verse 1. This is an important one. This is the one thing, this is the one fifth vision, is it the sixth vision, that helps us interpret certain parts of Revelation. So let's read chapter 5, the first few verses, because it's a very short vision. It is one of the most important, although shortly described. Then I turned and raised my eyes and saw there a flying scroll. Now most scrolls contain good news, but this one is different, it says. He said to me, "What do you see?" So I answered, "I see a flying scroll. Its length is 20 cubits and its width 10 cubits. Then he said to me, "This is a curse that goes out over the face of the whole earth. Every thief shall be expelled according to what is on this side of the scroll, and every perjurer shall be expelled according to what is on that side of it. I will send out the curse, says the Lord of hosts. It shall enter the house of the thief and the house of the one who swears falsely by my name. It shall remain in the midst of his house and consume it with his timbers and stones." I want you to know first of all that the thief singular refers to the Antichrist. He comes to steal, kill and destroy, exactly like the devil as described by Jesus in John 10 verse 10. Now the scroll, that is a very funny scroll. It is a scroll, all it says is judgment, 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 curse, 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 woe, woe, woe. So what is it talking about? Look carefully at the book of Revelations. Alright, here we go, Revelations again. Do you notice that from the time the seals are broken and from the time that the rapture is completed and the last week of Daniel begins, that there are some famines, some wars all the time. The 7 years are full of it. And chapter 6 of the book of Revelation. When the first seal is broken, the rider of the white horse comes forth and he brings war. That's Antichrist. He begins launching the war. In chapter 6 verse 3, the second seal is broken and there was even more war. There was peace taken away from the earth. Now if peace is taken, then peace was there, which was there before the last week of Daniel. And in chapter 6 verse 5, then he opened the third seal and there's a black horse and he represents famine. Then in chapter 6 verse 7, the fourth seal, and he saw a pale horse, he represents death. And the fifth seal represents martyrs that died. There are many who died. And then when the sixth seal begins, cosmic disturbance begins. The heavens and the earth begin to move into a dimension of judgment unlike the world has ever seen. I mean, the 7 last years are horrendous years. Years when cosmic disturbance are so powerfully displayed. They begin, a sign of it begins even towards the close of the church age. Remember that Peter predicts it. The sun shall be turned, change the moon, change the blood, and signs in the heavens above. Now, even towards the close of the church, we begin to see cosmic disturbances. But it will be multiplied greatly in the last week of Daniel. And notice in chapter 6, verse 17, which is why I believe that we Christians will not be there and the rapture has taken place. Because it says, "For the great day of his wrath has come." The tribulation years with a capital T, which is the 7 years, the last 7 weeks, the tribulation week, sometimes they call it, is a time of the wrath of God beginning. And Bible tells us in the book of 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 verse 9 that we are not appointed for wrath. We are not chosen for wrath. We are chosen to be freed and redeemed. And from that time it begins, you notice wrath comes in different forms. And when the seventh seal is broken in chapter 8 of Revelation, there was a silence in heaven. And remember, when I say there's a silence in heaven, you can read it consistently. Where there's silence, there's some sort of judgment about to take place. Immediately after the silence, there was, even in the book of Zechariah, you'll find that several times God talked about silence. And immediately after that, there was a judgment. And here there was a silence in heaven, and then there was these seven angels with trumpets. And I want you to know, those trumpets are trumpets of judgment. Verse 7, chapter 8 of Revelation. When the first angel sounded, hail and fire followed, mingled with blood, and they were thrown to the earth. Second trumpet sounded, a great mountain burning with fire was thrown into the sea. Looks like a meteorite. And a third of the sea became blood. Third trumpet was blown in verse 10, the waters were struck. Fourth trumpet was blown in verse 12, and the heavens were struck. But when the fourth trumpet was blown, in verse 13, there's an interesting, what I call, refrain that came. If the Revelation was a stanza, chorus, sometimes you got a refrain. A third refrain that is different from the chorus and the stanza. In verse 13, it says, woe, woe, woe to the inhabitants of the earth because of the remaining blast of the trumpet of the three angels who are about to sound. In other words, the fifth, the sixth, and the seventh trumpet are going to be horrendous. They're going to be bringing even more woes. But notice, the woe is declared three times. Because there are three last woes that will come up when the three trumpets are blown. The remaining three. And when the fifth trumpet was blown, there was demonic power released on the earth like never before. The locusts from the bottomless pit represent demon spirits. Then in verse 12 of chapter 9, Revelation chapter 9 verse 12, one woe is past, two more woes. Where is the second woe from? In the sixth trumpet being blown, in chapter 9 verse 13. When the sixth trumpet was blown, there are four angels who are bound at the great river Euphrates, they were released. Verse 15, look at verse 15, chapter 9 verse 15. The four angels who had been prepared for the hour and day and month and year, so precise, all reserved for the wrath of God for the last days. They are different type of angels. I want you to understand angels. They are archangels, messenger angels, they are worship angels. I know because I've seen some of them. There is a worship angel that teach us new songs. The warring angels don't. They have a different job to do. Then there are other type of angels called ministering angels. They are involved in helping you get a job, helping you do your business, helping you get your needs, physical needs met. They are ministering angels. Now, there is a particular group of angels. They are reserved. They are among the warring angels. They are reserved and they are reserved to inflict the judgment of God. Oh, those are, don't play around with those angels. Different. Worship angels are different. I love them to be around me. Because worship angels are those that encamp around you, and sometimes in your dream or in vision, you could hear them singing. They are different from ministering angels. Ministering angels, sometimes, I don't know what is it, they excuse me for using that word, excuse me, angels. they sometimes camouflage. They look almost like a human. And it's like they live almost like on this earth all the time, ministering to us. And God spies. And send among men. And usually those angels that come in disguise, where the book of, some of you are saying, hey, it's getting out of scripture. Wait a minute. Didn't the Bible say be hospitable lest you entertain angels? Well, praise the Lord. So those are angels that can come in disguise. They disguise as human beings. And there are some angels that don't have wings, some do have wings. They're different types. So these, to explain, I had to explain all that to, so that some of you don't get frightened and say, well, why the angel do all these things? Because there's a particular group of angels, they are designed with a purpose to inflict God's judgment. And here they were reserved for that day. And they were released to kill a third of mankind. Which is why you understand that when the Bible talks about the angel of death, it is different from Satan. Because that angel of death was not Satan. Because God and Satan are not in partnership. Don't tell me that during the Exodus, God called Satan and said, Satan, could you do me a favor? I mean, they are enemies. And say, Satan, would you mind going around and kill Pharaoh? And Satan say, oh, I'll be delighted. Thanks for the opportunity, God. That's inconsistency. So live in a theology that is consistent. You know, I don't want a theology where on one hand, Satan and God are fighting it out. And on the other hand, Satan and God are good pals, fighting us. That's why I call inconsistent theology, and it confuses people. And that's why a lot of intellectuals don't turn to Christ, because our theology is unsound. I believe in sound theology and logical theology. We got to think through on all these things and be prepared to face arguments that are thrown to us by atheists. And so that angel of death that came through was one of these that were released, that were held back. But when God released them, shoom, they come. And that angel that David saw, you remember the angel that came with a plague when David numbered the nation of Israel against God's will in his pride? And he saw the angel, not the devil, he saw an angel with a sword drawn, ready to destroy Jerusalem. And David really was frightened. When you see one of those angels, it can be frightening. Those are among the top-notch warring angels. Colonel, lieutenant of the warring angels. So that those are God's angels, and when they were released, tremendous destruction came. And then in verse 17, changed into something else, right? It was a different area. There were also demon powers, etc., that were manifested. And then notice that we are still in the second woe. The second woe, as we see here, continues from chapter 9, verse 13. The sixth trumpet was blown, and that's when the second woe begins to come. The plagues. And everything. When did the second war was completed? In chapter 11, verse 14, only in chapter 11, verse 14, was the second war completed. You see, in chapter 11, verse 14, in Revelation, it says, the second war is past.